Daratumumab. Is it the B-cell depleter ME/CFS fibromyalgia and long COVID need? By Court Johnson, July 18th, 2025. We're back to the B-cells, and that means we're back to the Charité 3rd International ME/CFS and Long COVID Conference. B and T-cells are the two big guns in the adaptive or late immune response. They're the cells we depend on to wipe out infections, and when they go bad, really bad things can happen. ME/CFS studies have found stressed B cells, which lack the energy to function normally. Immature B cells that just don't want to grow up or go on the attack. High CD24 levels. Proliferating B cells with reduced mitochondrial mass, which appear to be chronically activated by infections, as well as overactive B cells. B cell study is in its infancy in fibromyalgia. Still, Andreas Goebel's recent preprint suggests fibromyalgia exhibits problems in B cell tolerance, and you can see a link to that recent preprint in the text version of the article at this point. The problems seen in B cells include exaggerated B cell proliferative responses, enhanced clonal expansion, autoantibody production, and these mirror those seen in autoimmune diseases. Plus, a recent gene expression study, another link, found highly activated B cells in fibromyalgia that were pumping out interferons and inflammatory cytokines at a high rate. In long COVID, increased levels of activated B cells, increased plasmablasts, antibody-producing B cells, and functionally impaired B cells suggest that B cells have been chronically turned on and are suffering for it. Note that in all these studies, evidence of chronic B cell activation has emerged. That's not a great finding given what the IgG transfer studies have found. Activated B cells make immunoglobulins, IgGs, also known as antibodies, and IgG antibody transfer studies in ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID consistently suggest that something pathogenic has gone wrong with their IgGs. IgG from people with ME/CFS has fragmented mitochondrial and damaged endothelial cells in culture. Mice given fibromyalgia, IgG, exhibit increased pain response, reduced grip strength, and small nerve fiber damage. Long COVID IgG has been shown to produce reduced activity, increased pain, dizziness, and sensory stimulation in mice. These findings are prompting attempts to filter out or remove bad B cells in various ways. Rituximab, cyclophosphamide, immunoadsorption plasmapheresis, IVIG, and daratumumab. These have become popular recently. The Open Medicine Foundation's Treat Me survey found that IVIG was the most efficacious treatment. The cyclophosphamide lesson. Probably because it's too toxic for widespread use, Fluge and Mela's successful trial of a B-cell inhibiting drug called cyclophosphamide hasn't gained much attention. A mustard compound that emerged during research on chemical warfare, cyclophosphamide was originally developed to treat cancer, but it's also a highly effective B-cell depleter, which depletes different kinds of B-cells than rituximab. Note how much better cyclophosphamide performed in ME/CFS than rituximab did. Given the huge role B-cell dysregulation plays in many diseases, such as lupus, multiple sclerosis, Sjogren's syndrome, rheumatoid arthritis, type 1 diabetes, Crohn's disease, and chronic hepatitis, etc., it wouldn't be surprising at all if something was off with the B-cells in the ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID suite of diseases. The MABs, MABS, or monoclonal antibodies. It was Fluge and Mela who got the ME/CFS rituximab studies going in Norway, and it's back to Norway we go with a new study using a different MAB called daratumumab. Fluge, Mela, and Tronstadt now believe they know why the big rituximab ME/CFS trial failed. it targeted the wrong B cells. Rituximab targets CD20 B cells, which tend to have a shorter lifespan. The authors believe, however, that the autoantibody production found in ME/CFS is likely coming from longer-lived B cells, which daratumumab targets. They believe that alterations in the levels of functional autoantibodies, i.e., autoantibodies that play a positive role in the body as opposed to reactive autoantibodies, autoantibodies that attack the tissues, are in play in ME/CFS and long COVID. The autoantibody evidence is mixed. The functional autoantibodies believed in play in ME/CFS, those that impact the beta adrenergic receptors, B1, B2, ADR, and or muscarinic cholinergic receptors, M3 and M4, are complex and difficult to measure. Some studies suggest they are contributing to the dysautonomia in a subset of people with ME/CFS. Other studies have not found that. Using a sophisticated testing regimen, Hansen's group recently did not find evidence of upregulated autoantibodies. It's possible, though, that autoantibody balances may be more important than single autoantibody levels. The daratumumab, Darzalex, ME/CFS study. And you can see a link to the study at this point in the text version of the article. The goal of this study, called plasma cell targeting with the anti-CD38 antibody daratumumab in myalgic encephalomyelitis, chronic fatigue syndrome, a clinical pilot study, was to wipe out autoantibody-secreting B cells in an attempt to improve blood flow, reduce preload and hypoxia, and improve symptoms. Because the B cells they were after can live for decades in the bone marrow or gut wall, the authors hoped that altering levels could produce long-term changes. The study. The small study followed 10 female ME/CFS patients who received daratumumab injections, 1,800 milligrams, at weeks 0, 2, 4, and 6, with added maintenance treatments at weeks 14, 22, and 30 for the last four patients. Prior to the first injection, dexamethasone, 10 milligrams orally, cetirizine, 10 milligrams orally, paracetamol, 1 gram orally, and montelukast, 10 milligrams orally, were given. 2 days after the injections, they received dexamethasone, 4 milligrams orally. If patients experienced no adverse reactions to the first daratumumab injection, dexamethasone 10 milligrams, cetirizine 10 milligrams, and paracetamol 1 gram were administered prior to the next injection. They were followed for at least 12 months, and in some cases for 24 months. Results. The results were impressive. 6 out of 10 patients experienced marked improvement, i.e., SF physical function score more than doubled. The improvement from 32 to 78 translates to going from having major difficulties with moderate activities or self-care tasks to a level of functioning that's close to normal. It got even better. By the end of the study, 5 of the 6 improvers ended up with a mean SF36PF of 88, range 80 to 95, indicating they had almost no physical limitations. 5 of the responders were able to maintain a mean step count above 10,000 steps per 24 hours for some weeks at a time. Wow. The improvements began 6 to 8 weeks after the first injection, no placebo here, and increased over time. The patients who didn't improve showed no changes at all. In fact, the nice discordance between improvement and non-improvement was found. There was no guessing who did or did not improve. Either a patient did really well or did not improve at all. Surprise impact. Biologically, the study aimed to reduce serum IgG levels. Patients who improved had a more pronounced reduction in IgG antibodies, 54%, than those who did not, 40%. Most interestingly, it was the smallest subclass of IgG antibodies, IgG4, which decreased the most in those who improved. IgG4 antibodies were reduced by 65% in responders, but only by 29% in non-responders. These seemed a bit odd, as IgG4 is also the only IgG antibody class that has not been linked to the beta adrenergic B1 and B2 and muscarinic M3 and M4 autoantibodies these researchers were aiming at. Only one ME/CFS long COVID study has highlighted high IgG4 levels, and you can see a link to that at this point in the text version of the article. Yet this preliminary study suggested that daratumumab may have achieved its good work by knocking down IgG4 antibodies. I'm particularly interested in IgG4 because I have consistently very high IgG4 levels, which can drive tissue inflammation and fibrosis. In IgG4-related disease, the tissue inflammation often also drives mast cell production, which then interacts with IgG4 to produce more inflammation. Indeed, high IgG4 levels can cause an overproduction of collagen and growth of the extracellular matrix, resulting in the excessive growth of the connective tissue. That's an interesting finding given the collagen thickening in the capillaries found in Wust Group's recent muscle study, which could be impairing blood flow and uptake of oxygen by the tissues. High IgG4 levels can negatively affect the blood vessels in numerous ways, including impairing blood flows. And just as a reminder, you can see a link to that recent article at this point. Of course, IgG4 antibody levels need not be high to drive disease. Even low levels of highly specific autoantibodies can produce major effects, such as myasthenia gravis or Graves' disease, in some diseases. Antibodies can also have localized effects that are not reflected in serum samples. Note that high IgG4 levels were not found at baseline in these patients, but reducing IgG4 may have played a key role in the patient's recoveries. Higher NK cell numbers at baseline were associated with a better response. While daratumumab is usually used in cancer, the authors noted a series of case studies suggesting it can be highly effective in autoimmune patients who have not responded to treatment. Because those studies suggest that the first daratumumab injection may be the most important one, they're beginning a new series of tests using fewer doses in 4 long COVID ME/CFS patients with higher baseline NK cell levels. Given the small size of the study and the absence of placebo controls, the authors noted that no definite conclusions should be drawn before a randomized study has been performed. They have applied for a 66-patient randomized double-blind and placebo-controlled ME/CFS study, including long COVID patients who meet ME/CFS criteria, using CCC or Canadian Consensus Criteria. They hope it will be approved shortly. New rituximab study underway. A new 30-person rituximab study is underway in Japan. One might ask, why? Fluge and Mello's 6-year update of the 2017 151-person double-blinded Norwegian rituximab study found no evidence that rituximab had positive effects. Yet Fluge and Mello's follow-up study also stated that, quote, our pooled experience supports that some ME/CFS patients seem to respond to rituximab and B-cell depletion, and provide some reasons why the big rituximab study may have gone bust. Patient heterogeneity is probably always going to be high on anyone's list, as we don't know how to biologically target patients for drug trials. But the authors also noted the lower maintenance doses of rituximab used than in the previous phase 2 studies. I read somewhere that funding was an issue with that. The Japanese speaker did not explain why they chose to do another rituximab study, but the new study will adhere to traditional maintenance doses and focus on exploring rituximab's effect on the gut microbiome, the brain, both SPECT and MRI, the immune system, flow cytometry, B-cell repertoire, and a couple of autoantibodies, and metabolomics. If it is successful in at least some patients, it may help tell us which patients are more likely to benefit. The past is not necessarily prologue. Some people will probably look at Fluge and Mela's two successful small rituximab studies and then the big rituximab study that bombed and throw up their hands and assume the same pattern will occur with daratumumab. Time will tell what happens with daratumumab, but consider that it affects B cells differently, that Fluge and Mela and the Norway team picked it because they feel they know more about the B cell situation in ME/CFS now, that another B cell depleting drug, cyclophosphamide, appears to be helpful, and finally, that this is how science proceeds. It's a pity that it proceeds so slowly for ME/CFS. But perhaps it's not surprising that the first try at a B-cell drug didn't go so well. Conclusion. Studies including IgG antibody transfer experiments suggest problems with the B-cells exist in ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID, and many B-cell depleting efforts, monoclonal antibodies, plasmapheresis, immunoadsorption, IVIG, are being tried in these diseases. A small open-label study found that a B-cell depleter called daratumumab, which affects B-cells differently than rituximab, was either highly effective or did nothing at all. By the end of the study, half the patients reported on physical functioning questionnaires that had almost no physical limitations remaining. While it's not clear how daratumumab achieved its effects, its significant reduction of IgG4 antibodies suggests that IgG4 antibodies may play a major role in ME/CFS. While the baseline levels of IgG4 antibodies were not high, these antibodies can lead to an overproduction of collagen, resulting in excessive growth of connective tissue. That's an interesting finding given the collagen thickening in the capillaries found in the West group's recent muscle study, which could be impairing blood flows. Last month, the authors launched a 66-patient randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study of daratumumab in ME/CFS. A smaller Japanese rituximab study, which will use higher maintenance doses than did the big rituximab study, is underway. It will feature numerous explanatory analyses in an attempt to understand both rituximab's effects and what's happening in ME/CFS. Check out the first blog on the 2025 Charité ME/CFS and Long COVID Conference. Health Rising's quickie summer donation drive is on the brink. Thanks to everyone who has brought Health Rising's summer drive to the brink of success. When I first saw daratumumab, I thought, oh boy, another B-cell depleting drug, and from Norway, don't they know when to give up? But then I started digging. I found that the big rituximab study may have had some problems, such as a low maintenance dose, that Fluge and Mela had demonstrated that B-cell depletion could be effective, that daratumumab affects different B-cells than rituximab, and that the pilot study had yielded very good results. Plus, there were all these studies suggesting that something had gone wrong with the B-cells in ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID. Now I was excited. It just took some digging. If that kind of work supports you, please consider supporting us. You can either give one time or monthly at the link at the end of the text version of the article. Thanks for listening.